third message in our series here. And remember, the theme for this year is being careful to maintain good works. And of course, we sprung board out of Titus chapter 3 about verse 8. And the Apostle Paul there was telling the pastor Titus to the Cretans. And he says, you make sure and remind them constantly that they be careful to maintain good works there for Christ. And so the first message in that series, after we got past the introduction for the theme of the year, was there are no shortcuts. We talked about that. There's no shortcuts to salvation. And so there's no shortcuts to discipleship and to building a church right. And a church, if it's going to stand the test of time, it's got to be built on the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. So many churches today are not. And the biblical model is to build them on preaching and teaching. Now, singing and music is used to season and to tune the heart to get it ready to receive the message from the Lord. So music is important, but it's not to be used to build a church with. The correct model, of course, is the Word of God. And then the message, I believe, last week was, what is the mind of Christ? And if we are to be careful to maintain good works, the only way that we can be successful in that is if we adopt the mind of Christ. And remember, we preached out of Philippians chapter 2 on what is the mind of Christ. And such an interesting passage of Scripture there to introduce us to this concept on what should be our mind, our mindset as we work in among one another. Of course, when you have a crowd of this size, there's going to be different ideals, different opinions, and different characters. And you might find that your personality might clash with another personality. Maybe not to contention, but it might clash a little bit. And you say, well, how would we keep a church or a group of people moving together for the Lord? Well, the only way that we could do that is if each and every one of us adopt the mind of Christ. If we will not adopt the mind of Christ, and that speaks of humbling ourselves and being obedient and to begin to consider others, and it's not always about us, you know. Sometimes we approach church like we're approaching a buffet, you know, and it's like I always tell people, I always got a sense of humor when somebody tries to step in front of me in a buffet line. It's like, look, you don't ever step in front of a fat person in a buffet line. You get yourself hurt, you know, and why? Well, it's all about me, man. You know, I want the freshest pieces of chicken or ribs or whatever happens to be on the menu that day. But we approach church like that. It's all about me and self-promotion. Well, if we operate that way, we're going to come into conflict with one another. That's why there's so many church splits today. We're not operating with the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ says you need to consider others. The person sitting next to you need to consider them, that they are better than you. That's what we learned last week. And that you need to have enough humility in yourself to not always get your way. And you'll quickly learn that lesson when you try to pastor 40, 50, 60 people. I, as the pastor, cannot make everybody happy. There's no way. There's no way. So what I strive to do is to make God happy. And if I can make God happy, then I've been successful. But this morning, part three, the third part in this series is, what does it mean to pick up my cross and carry my cross? But the official title this morning will be Lost in Christ. Lost in Christ. If we are to maintain our momentum, if we are to push forward and to remain faithful until we hear the trumpet sound, how are we going to do that? How can we accomplish this? Once we see we need the mind of Christ, now that we got the mind of Christ, what action do we got to put with that? And so this brings us to our text this morning in Matthew chapter 16. And Christ says this, and verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, Let him deny himself. Now, I could preach a whole message on that. And I thought, it's not even in my points, but it keeps popping out at me. It's just like the Lord's, it's like a red light, you know. And the Lord said that if you're going to do this, if you're going to take up your cross, you got to deny yourself. You got to deny yourself. And this is what Christ is saying. Let him deny himself and take up his cross. Each and every one of us has a cross to bear. And follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose, here's where I get the title. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. That I call that lost in Christ. As children of God, we need to be lost in Christ, not lost in the world. When the roll call, we should be in the house of God and not lost to the things of the world, trying to gain the world. This is what he's saying. If you're going to follow me. Now, he's not saying if you don't follow me, you're not saved. That's not what we're talking about this morning. There's a lot of people that are saved that will not follow Christ. They're saved. They're born again. But they're trying to gain the world. We're talking about if we're to be successful in God's eyes, not man's eyes, God's eyes, and we want to follow Christ, then we're going to have to lose ourselves in Christ. That's the only way we'll find life. Verse 26, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and when he shall, then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily, that means truly, truly I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Talking about the Apostle John when he revealed to him what was going on in Revelations. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we come now today, and Lord, help us. As I open the Word of God, let the Holy Spirit speak through me. Let me be a tool that you use today to preach the gospel and to teach us from Scripture that you want us to pick up the cross and to follow you. Help us to do that. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Now, I want you to go to Philippians chapter 3. Because this will help us, it goes with the message, on what I mean by lost in Christ. Lost in Christ. Philippians chapter 3, and the Apostle Paul here is giving his testimony. He's talking about his credentials, about what he had gained in the world before he got saved. Look with me in verse 5. Or verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. So this is a person looking to gain the world. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law of Pharisee. He was the straightest of all sects. There of Pharisees. The Pharisees was the straightest, most orthodox there in the Word of God. And he says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That means anytime he disobeyed the law, he offered the proper sacrifice for it. So he had really attained the world at being a Pharisee. But watch what he says now. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Uh-oh. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You say, man, what's he talking about here? What's he saying? He's saying he lost himself after he got saved. He decided to follow Christ. He decided to pick up his cross and follow Christ, and he lost himself in Christ. So that's the thought I want you to have. It's we're moving on from just being born again. So many people think, I got born again, and that's it. I've won the prize. There was a lot of martial artists. All they wanted was a black belt. If that's really what you want, I'd just give you one, you know. There, now you're a black belt. But if that was their only purpose, once they reach black belt, it's like, oh, I'm the master. Black belt just means you are now ready to begin training. That's what first degree black belt means. You are now ready to receive training. It's why it's called a discipline. And so once you get the fundamental basics so you don't get yourself hurt, then you can begin to be taught. So many Christians think, I signed up for the class. I'm a Christian. I got saved. I got born again. I said a little prayer and I'm in. I'm a black belt. You are just now ready to receive training. It's time to move forward for Christ and to become a follower of Jesus. And the Apostle Paul, he picked up that mantle and was called of God, and he became one of the greatest apostles who ever lived, and he lost himself in Christ. Most Baptists today have not gotten past denying themselves. I wanted to point that out in our text. He says the first thing you're going to do, and when you decide to follow Christ and you're going to pick up your cross, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to quit chasing the world and the things that are in the world, trying to gain the world. And the pride of life is something, isn't it? I believe it is materialism that is destroying the American Christian today. We got too much. I mean, we got too much. And if we don't have what we think we have, we go get the money and go get it. Materialism. It's a god. It's become our god. And so we're wrapped up in trying to gain things that took our parents a lifetime to attain. We want it now. And I got news for you. If you're going to follow Christ, you're going to bear your cross, you're going to pick up your cross, you're going to have to, number one, deny yourself. You're going to have to deny yourself. Well, I want to take my kids to the ball game. And I'm not saying ball games are bad. They teach children leadership skills and development, how to work as a team. They're not bad. They're bad when they on church days and church nights. Sports are great. And they really help a child interact and learn, and they learn that there's a structure and there's a system and there's authority. I got it. But when the devil uses that to get you out of church, it's not okay. You're gaining the world. Oh, I just want this. You're going to have to deny yourself. Number one thing. To totally follow Christ, you'll have to take up your cross. And as I said earlier, just because you're saved does not mean you're following Christ. Just because you've been born again doesn't mean you're a disciple. A disciple means a disciplined pupil. That means you're being taught something. You're being tutored. You're being taught by a pastor and a teacher, and you're involved. You're a member of a local New Testament church. Christ did start the church. He's telling this stuff to these 12 apostles who the Bible says is the ground and pillar of the church. And they taught it. So what is our cross if we're to take up our cross? Well, it's easier to say what it's not first. Your cross is not your burdens. Every one of us has burdens to bear. We got home burdens. We got job burdens. We got responsibilities. Your cross is not your burden. It's not the circumstances that are currently going on in your life. That is not your cross. It's not your disease that you're fighting and dealing with. That's not your cross to bear. It's not your heartaches. God did not say, take up your burdens and follow me. It's not your burdens. He said, take it up, which is the cross. He's referring to a cross. When he says you need to take it up, he means it's a choice you've got to make. You've been born again. You're saved. There's nothing that's going to change about that. You've trusted Christ. You believe that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. You believe that he paid the sin debt of the world. You've asked him to forgive you of your sins. You've asked him to come into your heart. That's getting saved. We're talking about taking up the cross and following Christ now. Following. It's a choice, and it's your choice. It's a personal choice. You personally, I cannot make this choice for you. You have to make the choice. It's a purposeful choice. That means it's a good destination to end up in because it starts in a good direction. I find it amazing. People go in a wrong direction, and then 5 to 10 years later, they all got the boo-hoo, and it says, I can't believe I ended up in this destination. It's like if you're headed towards the desert, you're going to find yourself in the desert. I mean, people say, well, I want to go to Myrtle Beach, but they head north and go to Alaska. You're not going to get to Myrtle Beach by going to Alaska. Whatever direction you're walking in, you need to look down the way just a little bit and find out where the destination is. People get wrapped up in the sin because there is pleasure in sin for a season. Sin is fun. I know, that's strange, ain't it? Most preachers don't want to say that. Sin is fun. God said, the Bible says, there's a pleasure in it. But it's only for a season. And it's going to take you down a road, and it's going to get you in a wrong destination. And you're going to have a wrecked life. That's where sin leaves you. That's where addictions leave you. That's where fornication leads you. That's where pornography leads you. It's where all these sins will lead you. They start out, it's fun, it's a great little journey, but all of a sudden you find yourself in the middle of a Sahara Desert, and you're alone. That's not your cross. It's a profitable choice in the end. Because Christ said there in our text that when he comes back, he'll reward those who followed Christ, who took up their cross and followed Christ. So what is this cross, preacher? What is the cross he's talking about? Why did he say, deny yourself and pick up your cross? Christ bore his cross, but he wants you and I to bear our cross. What is this cross? It's redemptive suffering. It's redemptive suffering. It is suffering for someone else. It's suffering what you do not deserve for someone else. Jesus suffered, did he not? Jesus did not deserve the cross. He didn't deserve to be spit upon, ridiculed, beard plucked out, stripped naked, beat with a cat of nine tails, and nailed to a cross. He did that for you and I. The cross is redemptive suffering. It's suffering for someone else. Jesus showed us that. He suffered the perfect for the imperfect, the holy for the unholy. Here is the definition of the cross. It is suffering in the place for someone who deserves to suffer for it. Most don't know what New Testament Christianity is. That's New Testament Christianity. It's suffering what you do not deserve for someone else. So often, in these last 12 years, people come to me, why did you not do this or why did you do that? And I have to remind them, for every decision that is made, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And souls are always hanging in the balance. And if we're not willing to suffer a redemptive suffering and willing to suffer just a little bit so we can see others people get saved, we are not bearing our cross. Jesus, he said, I didn't even hesitate to go to the cross. I didn't hesitate to deal with uncomfortableness. I did not hesitate to be falsely accused so that others could go free. I'm glad he suffered for me. The just for the unjust. And if we're going to be careful to maintain good works, we have to operate in the mind of Christ. But then we got to pick up our cross and follow him. And that's a redemptive cross. It's willing to suffer what we don't deserve for others. Boy, that means a lot of people think that bearing your cross for Christianity is to stop your drinking and stop your cussing. Stop your immorality and you're lying and you're cheating. And that's only part of it. But it's more than that. It's more than that. God wants us to suffer for each other. That's why I said we don't always get our way. It's not always about us. It's about others. It's about suffering a little uncomfortableness so others that might deserve to suffer cannot suffer. That's what Christ did for us. So what is this cross? I want to give you three things. And Romans chapter 9, let me share this with you. Go to Romans chapter 9. Verses 1 through 3. As I said, the cross is a redemptive work. Verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, Romans chapter 9. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He was so burdened for his kindred, the Jews. They had rejected Christ. And he says, I'm praying that I would be accursed so I could see them be saved. That's Paul bearing his cross. The word accursed means willing to go to hell to save my people. That's what he's saying. Moses said it. Remember what Moses said when the people sinned while dancing naked around the golden calf? He said, Lord, blot my name out of the book of life and spare them. Oh boy. Hey, I'll tell you something. That'll stop the church splits. That'll stop the fussing. That'll stop the complaining. That'll stop the strife. That'll stop the bickering. Yes, it will. Are you willing to go to hell for God to take your name out of the book of life to see someone else get saved? Are you willing to put up with a little uncomfortableness so that others can come to know Christ? Even our own churches, we are so selfish and self-centered. You know, here in these 10 years, I love children in our service. They do not bother me. The little children, when they cry and they're walking, it's hard to keep them seated for 45 minutes. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the lambs. But you would not believe the complaints I've received about that from people over the years. Not here. Not with this group. That bothers them. They just want to leave. I say, you know what? And I am. I've been here 12 years. I'm 55, going on 55. We need to put a revolving door in there. You don't like it? I, you know what? I don't mind to suffer a little inconvenience so our children can be in the service. So our children, I've had people get upset because I let the little kids sing. They don't think that's right. We take a little time. I want them to sing and learn about Jesus. I want them to know they're welcome in the house of God. Let's take a little time out for them. Nobody here has complained. I don't want you looking at one and saying, oh, who's been? There ain't nobody sitting here this morning that's complained about that. Got a good group of people. There's a whole lot that goes on I just don't say a lot about. But we need to bear our cross. We need to be willing to suffer and to be accursed, willing to go to hell to save people. Oof. I'm not there yet. You've heard me say this. I wouldn't die with what some of you have. Because from standing over here looking at what you got, it's not real. Now maybe you know it's real, and I hope so. I pray to God that it is, but I wouldn't die with it. Say, what is it? We all need this message. Are you willing to be accursed to see others come to Jesus? Where is our love? Where is that spirit that says, I'm willing to suffer just a little bit to see souls come to Christ? Are we willing to suffer guilt for others? And I've heard people say, but you don't know what they've done to me. Well, that tells me you're not willing to pick up your cross. The cross is redemptive. It's when you innocently suffer for the guilty and you choose to do so. Ain't that what Jesus did? Here's what's really mind-blowing. Christ could have at any moment said, 10,000 angels, I'm wiping this mess out. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm glad he's God. Because knowing you had that power and that ability and still suffer all that, nah, not me. What love. What a cross. The cross is suffering for those guilty against me. Somebody does you wrong. Somebody attacks you. Somebody hurts your feelings. Here's what you say when you're bearing your cross. Don't punish them, punish me. I'll take it. I know that's not natural. It's not natural. It's supernatural. It's Christ's nature. Jesus died on the cross for those that killed him. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me give you a church setting for this. We got to learn how to get along. We got to learn how to suffer. We got to learn how to take up our cross. It's not all about us. We're in this age of self-promotion and individuality. Oh, but it's not. It's about all of us working together, striving together. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 now through 7. And he talks about here, watch this, verse 1. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Come on down to verse 7. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you because ye go to law with one another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? What is he saying? The word defraud means to be cheated. God is saying, if he's your brother in Christ, let him cheat you. That's what he just said. Now, I hope this don't fall on ears that are full of malice so they purposely go about trying to cheat others. That's a complete different matter. Maybe so-and-so borrowed some money off him, and then they lost their job and fell on hard times, and they just couldn't pay it back. Instead of trying to get your pound of flesh, take the defraudment. Forget about it. Take up your cross. He owes you money. Preacher told me, it's been a month ago now, he's in this church, and he told me, he said, what I'm telling you is 100% gospel truth. Two ladies at a church function got in a fight over a Tupperware lid. I'm telling you where we're at in our churches, in this area, Baptist Church. Both of them claimed that it was theirs. Now, I don't know about you ladies. You might know what the price of a Tupperware lid or a Tupperware bowl. They got into a fight so severe that the pastor had to step into it, in the middle of it. And there was a name on it, which the other one accused that the other one had wrote her name on it. That was her Tupperware lid because of a little mark on the edge. So the pastor says, the name I'm giving is to the name of the person whose name's on it. And it wasn't fresh ink. It split the church right down the middle, 50-50. 50% of the people walked out who sided with the other lady. How much is a Tupperware lid? Let her have it. Let her have it. Go buy a new one. Let your husband buy you a brand new one. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, that's mine. You don't know. What's it worth? Be willing to suffer for the ones that defrauded you. I believe we're often too eager to take action. Let me illustrate this by Acts chapter 7. Remember Stephen? When he was stoned, He didn't deserve to be stoned, but they stoned him. And Stephen said, while he was dying, let me pay for what they've done to me. He says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That's what he said. Isn't that what Christ said? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen says the same thing. He says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He said, what was he saying? He said, I'll pay it. I'll gladly pay it. I'll pay it. Now that's taking up your cross. Friends, you want to follow Jesus? Deny yourself. Quit thinking about yourself. Man, if we could just get past that, I'm telling you, it stopped the church splits. It stopped the church fighting, the fussing. It stopped that judgmental attitude. And it stopped that stuff because you're willing to suffer for others because it's about souls that are hanging in the balances. The cross means declaring that he has not sinned at all. That's what he meant when he said, take up your cross. Anybody this morning here interested in taking up your cross and following Jesus? You know, bearing your cross is not that cross chain around your neck. That's not bearing the cross. You see the picture of these guys that walk down in public carrying a cross. Oh, I'm carrying that. That's not what he's talking about, folks. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about getting you across somewhere and walking downtown with that cross, carrying that cross. That's not what he meant. See, nobody wants to just obey the word of God. It's about suffering for others. It's about being defrauded and taken and say, I'll pay it. Don't lay it to their charge. You ever confessed a sin to God, went back, confessed it again? God said, I don't remember. Yeah. That's right. That's what he's talking about. Forgiving others and then not remembering it. That word charge means don't look at it. Don't witness it, Lord. Don't put it on their record. I'm paying for it. Our selfishness says he's not treating me right. Jesus says, deny yourself. You say, thank God my sins are gone. How about those sins that have been sinned against you? Are those sins gone? When people have sinned against you, are their sins gone? Christ said, I'll forgive you if you forgive others. You see what our problem is? You see why we can't be careful to maintain good works? We want our pound of flesh. We want our individuality to shine out. We're not team players. We're not going to deny ourselves. We're not going to pick up the cross, which is redemptive suffering. It's suffering what others deserve, but we're going to take it so that we can see souls come to Christ. We can see lives affected and impacted. You don't know what the edge that some people are on. Let me let you in on something. People act a certain way for a reason. People do things for reasons. And a lot of times those reasons are not easy to figure out. So instead of jumping down someone's throat, and I'm talking church settings now, be willing to suffer a little wrong to help someone else out. Is that not what Christ did? Is that not what Christ did? That's what it means when he says, deny yourself. Pick up your cross. You are admitting and saying, I'm willing to suffer wrong for others. That's leadership. That's the next level in the Christian life. Is willing to be able to put up with a little crisis, being able to put up with a little uncomfortableness to be a blessing to others. Lay not this sin to their charge. Is anyone here interested this morning in a cross? Boy, it's quite a complicated subject there, isn't it? What does it mean to take up our cross and follow Christ. It's being willing to suffer. Being willing to take the defraudment. Being willing to be buffeted for the cause of Christ. Oh, I don't know about you, but I want to be a follower of Christ. It's not always about winning and getting your way and getting what you want. It really is about the faith of the gospel. We need to begin to look at ministry and life through God's eyes. Hell is really just that bad. Are you willing to put up with just a little bit of uncomfortableness to see somebody that's headed to hell get saved? Just a little bit, just a little temporary, just a little bit. Are you willing to maybe let so-and-so have your Tupperware lid to keep the peace? Because it's really about God's picture, the bigger picture. Buy yourself a new one. You needed one anyway. You know that Tupperware lid wasn't no good. You know it smelled like two-year-old spaghetti. It got stained. You never could get it. I mean, come on. Now, I could tell other stories close to home, but I won't. But you remember, are you willing to go to war over a Tupperware lid? Split the church? Think about the children. Now, you think about this. I want you to think about it because I'm revealing the mind of your pastor a little bit. Think about the innocent children in that church split that now is not going to hear the gospel. Their life was disrupted, and now they have a bad picture painted in their little minds about church people because two women got into a fight over a Tupperware lid, split the church, and got mad at the pastor when he took a side. That's silly. That's somebody that doesn't care about souls. I care about souls. I care about the souls in people's children. They're innocent and they don't have a chance. And I want to see that they get a chance. Because they need Jesus too. Let's deny ourselves. Pick up our cross. Be willing to suffer just a little bit. Suffer some defraudment to see some souls come to Christ. Let's all stand this morning. What's it mean to bear our cross?